Insert stereotypical sports intro now.
You know, you miss 1 week and you're stuck talking about Yoannis Cespedes winning the most boring all-star event in the history of all-star events, and that includes that stupid WNBA-NBA old guy fusion that they have on All-Star Weekend, which is one of the most miserable things I have ever seen. Welcome back into Shooting Bricks. Had a week off last week due to technical difficulties and general inclement weather.
Tsunami.
There was a tsunami in the capital region. It knocked out our gear for a little while, but we are back, and since we've been gone, a whole bunch of great sports stuff has gone down, and it's kind of transpired and expired in terms of its topicdom, and we are left talking about Major League Baseball while Major League Baseball has a couple days off. I'm Pierce Bricks again, sitting with me, Matt Olmstead. Before we get into that, I do want to talk about my man LeBron James real quickly. I know that LeBron, the world is super saturated with LeBron James, but in terms of LeBron going back to Cleveland, I can't get enough of it. Everybody else can say they're sick of it, and eventually everybody else will say they're sick of it. I think it is the single biggest, greatest, most transformative sports story of my lifetime. Probably one of the 5 to 10 greatest sports stories of anybody's lifetime. It's an ESPN 30 for 30 that you get to watch live. If you're paying attention, I mean, for the next... I know they signed just a 2-year deal, but that's because there's a new collective bargaining coming down the wire here, and he wants to get paid as much as he possibly can get paid. For the next 5 to 6 years, you are going to be watching LeBron's quest for a ring in Cleveland, and it completely changes the dynamic in which we view LeBron James. LeBron has gone from zero to hero over the last week and a half. There is nobody outside of a couple diehard fans in Miami, and there are literally only like 7 diehard fans in Miami, everybody has endorsed this move. Everybody liked the letter. I've heard a couple cynics talking about how they don't think LeBron was actually the person that penned that essay. How can you even care who wrote that essay? If somebody proofread LeBron's essay, that's perfectly fine with me. The guy has his own empire. Nike is going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm pretty sure they're going to have somebody in the room so that LeBron doesn't say, bleep off Miami, Cleveland for life. You want to edit that out if that was the sentiment. I don't believe it was the sentiment. Did you read the letter, Matt?
I saw the handwriting. It looked pretty LeBron James to me.
I don't think that was a handwritten letter. I'm pretty sure he typed that bad boy.
It was before. It was.
The first draft, LeBron was sitting first, there.
Yeah, I saw that.
I like to picture LeBron with a typewriter, with a scrolling the papers back, the whole nine, just like with some nice Harry Potter glasses on, really taking it all in. I thought it was phenomenal. What else did you want the guy to do? LeBron hater, you're going to tell me that you didn't find that letter to be sincere. What could you have seen from LeBron? What could he have done to appease you? He went and apologized. He said he made mistakes. He said he needed that experience to grow. He compared his 4 years in Miami, leaving home, to people going to college and that whole experience. I thought that was a phenomenal juxtaposition, a great comparison. He left Miami and went back to Cleveland. I mean, whether you think the letter was sincere or not, how can you not think the letter is sincere when you look at the end result, which is LeBron James uprooting his family from Miami, where it's 80 degrees and sunny every day, babes just flocking everywhere you go, and moving back to Northeast Ohio? He did it. At the end of the day, he is back in Cleveland, and we get to watch the quest for him to win 1 or 2 rings in Cleveland, for Akron, for Cleveland, for Northeastern Ohio. And I do think this changes the lens in which we view LeBron's championship catalog. If he wins 2 more rings before his days are done in Cleveland, having to work at the disadvantage of playing in a small market, I think that elevates it. I think that those 2 rings carry more weight than maybe 1 or 2 of those Jordan rings when he had the great team and played in the big market. It will entirely be upon LeBron's shoulders, like it was the first 7 years when he couldn't get it done, to win a ring in Cleveland. And if he can get to four, two being in Cleveland, I think we will look at him in the same stratosphere. Some already do. I tend to already view him as a Jordan-esque player, but I think it'll be hard to doubt his greatness, which so many people really want to doubt. Moving on, Major League Baseball needs to fix the Home Run Derby. The Home Run Derby this year was wretched. It was hard to watch. Did I watch the whole thing? Yes, but that's because I had a $5 bet on Yoannis Cespedes, and he wouldn't go away. I was sitting here rooting for my guy to lose so I could change the channel, watch some Daily Show, or just go to bed early. It didn't get off due to a rain delay, and really you can't blame Major League Baseball for that. That's the same reason we didn't have a podcast last week. I'm not going to hold that against them. But this new format managed to slow down the Home Run Derby. Major League Baseball can't get out of its own way when it comes to the pace of play. The biggest criticism about Major League Baseball, the actual games themselves, are that they take too long, and with specialty pitchers and 5-6 pitchers an inning starting at the 6th or 7th inning, the game just drags along to the bitter end, where you're talking about 3.5-4 hour ball games that people in 2014, especially children in 2014, young kids with their social media, their Instagrams and their Twitter, as I sound like the oldest man in the world, these kids just don't have the patience for this sort of a game. So what do? Before this season, they add instant replay, which does nothing except slow down the game even more. And then you get to the Home Run Derby, where they try to take three outs away from the old school 10 outs, but add a round. There were guys getting by rounds yesterday in the Home Run Derby. Joey Bats and Giancarlo Stanton, two of the three guys anybody actually wanted to see in that tournament, actually got a bye, and when they came back, they were stiff, especially Stanton, who went from hitting six of the longest home runs that anybody hit that night to hitting nothing, putting up a goose egg in his second round because he had to wait for an hour and a half. They made the Home Run Derby drag out too long. And the longer the Home Run Derby drags out, the more boring it becomes. Because unlike the dunk contest, where you see creativity and you see guys doing different things, and by the way, the dunk contest needs work itself, hitting a home run is hitting a home run is hitting a home run, unless you're the guy putting them 510 feet. And that was Giancarlo Stanton. That's a guy that I want to see. Joey Bats, the leading vote getter for the American League, if not all of baseball, out of Toronto. You know how difficult it is to be the leading vote getter in American professional sports playing in Toronto? That guy has star power. That's the guy I want to see. I don't want to see those two guys get prolonged hour-plus buys because they're the best guys around. And by the time they come back, they're stiffened up and they don't even win it. The way you fix the Home Run Derby is you make it smaller. 10 people. Brian Dozier, the second baseman for the Twins, and I understand that, you know, he's a Minnesota guy and the game was being played in Minnesota. The Twins fans, by the way, flat during the Home Run Derby. Brian Dozier has no business being in the Home Run Derby. He's not a star. Todd Frazier. Matt, have you ever heard of Todd Frazier?
Nope.
Neither have I. Well, I mean, I have, but barely. The guy is not a star. You put stars in the Home Run Derby. You have six guys. Now, if you can't get Mike Trout and some of the other young guys because their manager doesn't like it or their agent doesn't like it or Subway is worried that Trout's going to get injured, I get that. But of the guys that you definitely had last night, you should have cut four out. The National League should have had Troy Tulowitzki. That's a star. As a matter of fact, that's an undervalued, undermarketed star that Bud Selig should have had in these events years ago. You have Yasiel Puig, and I know Yasiel Puig had zero home runs on the night. He looked like a buffoon. He was done in about 30 seconds. He swung at seven of the first nine pitches he saw, ground three of them to the pitcher, and went about his business. That being said, he is a megastar. He's an attraction in your game. Do you know who Yasiel Puig is?
Nope.
Okay, that ruined my argument. You were supposed to say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Most people know who Yasiel Puig is. He is one of the hot topics, the hot buttons in American sports, and he has been now for getting pretty close to a year. When he exploded on the scene in Los Angeles, he took Major League Baseball by storm, and Major League Baseball needs to capitalize on guys like that. You have Tulowitzki, you have Puig, and you pick somebody else. You don't need Todd Frazier, who ended up making to the... Todd Frazier made the finals with one home run in the second to last round. Giancarlo Stanton, that's the other guy you need. I talked about him for 5 minutes already. Giancarlo Stanton, who, by the way, you probably haven't heard of.
Nope.
Giancarlo Stanton is the premier power hitter in Major League Baseball. When was the last time the best power hitter in Major League Baseball was not a household name in this country? Do you recognize the name Barry Bonds?
Yes.
Mark McGwire?
Absolutely.
Hank Aaron?
All the time.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yep.
Herman Babe Ruth?
Oh, yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Never heard of him.
Jose Bautista.
Can't say that I know him.
That is a problem for Major League Baseball. They have a marketing issue, and the Home Run Derby is a place where you can try to turn that around. In the American League, you keep Adam Jones in there because he's a star and he's an African-American star. And with African-Americans playing baseball in this country declining daily, you need maximum exposure there. You need somebody for the young African-American youth to look up to. Now, I don't prescribe to the notion that you need to look like a guy to look up to a guy, but I do understand where people are coming from a cultural perspective. So you leave him in there. He's a great player in his own right. Joey Batts, the leading vote getter, as I said before, the leader in home runs over the last, I think, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. You leave him in there, and then you leave Cespedes, the two-time champion, in there because he's defending his title, and he plays for the best, most underrated team in Major League Baseball. The Oakland A's have the best record in Major League Baseball, and most people can't name an Oakland A. As a matter of fact, the most recognizable name on the Oakland A's is Jeff Samardzija, and he's been on the A's for about a week and a half after getting traded from the miserable Chicago Cubs. Major League Baseball needs a marketing makeover, and you saw it on display with the ineptitude and the inability to make the Home Run Derby viewable. Not even entertaining, just simply viewable. It was unwatchable. Now, I was going to move on, but Matt had just put something in my screen, and it's a good point. Maybe it's because steroids have ruined the home run permanently. I mean, it's possible. We talked about all those guys, and not all the guys that I mentioned are guys that are implicated with, you know, steroid use and steroid abuse. Obviously, Hank Aaron, no. Babe Ruth, no. Ken Griffey Jr., in my estimation, absolutely not. But maybe we are so jaded. Maybe watching guys hit 50, 60, 70, nearly 80 home runs a year, year in and year out for a decade plus, ruined the home run for Americans. Ruined what used to be the most entertaining thing in American sports, because every day, every regular season was a game of home run derby within itself. And now you're seeing guys who are hitting 35 home runs a year and leading the league at 42 home runs a year like you used to see in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s and the early 90s to a degree. And you know that it's happening cleanly. And, you know, as a fan of integrity and moral values within sports, you want to see things happen cleanly, but you just can't erase what guys used to do. You can't erase the superhuman things that you saw from 95 to 05.
It's like living your entire life with Pop-Tarts. Then somebody comes along, gives you a toaster strudel with all the gooey loveliness, and then going back to Pop-Tarts. Who wants a Pop-Tart after you've had a delicious toaster strudel?
See, I've never had a toaster strudel.
Live that way. Just blissful ignorance.
I mean, I would be fine if I just had a non-frosted Pop-Tart and then somebody gave me a frosted Pop-Tart and then I had to go back to the bland raspberry-infused piece of granola that you've been feeding me for years. Frosted Pop-Tarts changed my life from about the age of 11 to the age of 13 and a half. Never had a toaster strudel. The cream cheese frosting? Cream cheese frosting does not appeal to me. It's like coffee cake. I don't want coffee in my cake. Carrot cake. I can't eat carrot cake on the principle. I know that there aren't... Are there carrots in carrot cake?
There are plenty of carrots in carrot cake.
Okay, that's disgusting. See, I didn't even... I thought that that was just a name for the cake. I didn't even think there were carrots, and I'm still unable to stomach carrot cake. not a a toaster strudel guy. However, I do see where you're coming from there. It does make a lot of sense. And if that's the case, then Major League Baseball may not be salvageable. May be on the slow decline towards death in this country, or at least, you know, falling permanently beneath the juggernaut that is the National Football League, the NBA, and maybe even becoming more comparable in popularity to soccer. I don't want to see it happen. I love the game. It's my favorite game in the world. However, they need to do something. You know what else is the problem as we continue on this tangent on Major League Baseball here during the All-Star break, where we're supposed to be celebrating the game and how fantastic it is? A year or two ago, they changed the rule to add an extra wild card team into the postseason to make it more enjoyable, to make it so that every team had hope deeper into the season. So you didn't have squads like the Chicago Cubs, like the New York Mets, like the San Diego Padres, who are just tanking because come the middle of June, middle of July, you know there's no hope, and the fan base stops going to the games, and you start mortgaging all your parts, and the team loses its will to play hard. And I understood it in theory, although I've always liked the fact that it's difficult to make the Major League Baseball postseason. It means that games down the stretch matter a lot more. Teams have to try harder. Teams have to really put forth everything they have on the field and in the front office in order to make the appropriate push and become that playoff team. But I understood it. You want the fans of certain teams to be interested longer. And that, I think, is the wrong way to look at it as well. Look at what basketball is doing this offseason. NBA basketball offseason is trumping Major League Baseball and its regular season play. It's not even close. Headline after headline. I understand LeBron James is the biggest superstar on the planet. LeBron James, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, whatever they do, people pay attention. But Pau Gasol going to the Chicago Bulls 3 years past his prime is a bigger storyline than anything coming from Major League Baseball. Carmelo Anthony not going anywhere, but thinking about potentially going to a couple different places, bigger than any story in Major League Baseball. Trevor Ariza leaving the Washington Wizards, a major story, bigger than anything coming out of Major League Baseball. That's an issue. When you have all these people that are... One of the greatest things growing up, in my opinion, as a young baseball fan, was the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Where are guys going? Who is shipping their stars, and where are those stars going to? Is David Price going to be on the move? Bartolo Colon, to a much lesser degree, on the market for the New York Mets. If you name a team and they have a superstar and that superstar has a contract or is about to come into a lot of money, you had an opportunity to watch that guy leave. It was interesting. It's very similar to Major League Baseball free agency. Now there are more teams that are competitive, and because those teams are competitive, they're not trading off their assets. And if they're not trading off their assets, you don't get that intrigue. You don't get that fresh infusion of new talent in new cities and new markets. You don't get those super teams. And therefore, you don't get national attention for major squads. Nobody in the NBA watches the Charlotte Bobcats. Nobody watches the Knicks when the Knicks are terrible. Nobody watches bottom-feeding teams, and the NBA survives perfectly fine because they don't have regionalized markets. They have super teams. They have free agents that bounce around, and the top eight teams in the league drive the entire sport. Major League Baseball doesn't have that trade deadline excitement anymore. They did away with it with their new wild card strategy, and they don't have any super teams for people to get behind. They have teams like the Oakland Athletics, who just are not a national story. They need national storylines, and it seems like if Bud Selig can't get the Yankees to be competitive through the sheer expenditure of dollars, then they have no national storylines. If the Red Sox aren't winning, if the Yankees aren't winning, then baseball isn't winning. Let's play 30 Seconds in Heaven.
30 Seconds in Heaven.
Our first story.
Jimmy Graham's contract.
Yeah, 4 years, $40 million for Jimmy Graham after the entire is he a wide receiver, is he a tight end arbitration controversy. He gets $21 million guaranteed. To be honest with you, this is a no-brainer. if I'm the New Orleans Saints, you need this guy on your team and you need this guy happy. He's 6'7", 265. He's 27 years old, entering the prime of his career. You can have Megatron, and that's with all due respect to the greatest wide receiver in this game. You can have Adrian Peterson for my dollar bill, Jimmy Graham, the biggest, most dangerous asset in the National Football League.
Dwayne Wade signs with the Heat.
And by the way, Jimmy Graham, most dangerous asset outside of the quarterback position. Yeah, Dwayne Wade, 2 years, $34 million. He ends up getting $8 million less than he would have gotten had he not opted out of his contract before LeBron James left for Miami. I hear a lot of criticism of LeBron James, kind of blaming him for the pay cut that Dwayne Wade is going to get or has gotten. If Dwayne Wade wants to compete, he needed to opt out regardless, because Dwayne Wade is not a $42 million man over 2 years. As a matter of fact, he's not even close to worth $34 million, so he's still vastly overpaid. He should be happy with it, and people need to get off LeBron's back. Dwayne Wade's a grown man, too.
Worker hangs Alabama flag onto A&M Stadium and gets the axe.
Yeah, Matt, I need to bring you in on this one. I was against it. I thought it was kind of ridiculous. And then the more I thought about it, the more absolutely I was all for this guy getting fired. And now I've kind of come full circle, and I think that people are over-exaggerating a little bit. Texas A&M are in the SEC, as is Alabama. So this guy was blatantly being a little bit of a you-know-what. That being said, just make him go take the sign down.
Racist.
A racist?
Is that he being a racist?
No, he wasn't being a racist. He was being an ass.
An ass.
How was he being a racist? Where did you get racism out of that?
He's from Alabama.
Oh, well, yeah. He was being an ass, all right?
You want to do this one again?
No, that's kind of funny. Anyway, guy puts up a flag of not even your rival, just somebody you don't really like, hangs a flag from your house. That guy getting fired if he was your, I don't know, your landscaper?
That, I don't think so, no. Well, I mean, depends what kind of flag it was.
I don't get how you fire the guy. He didn't really do anything wrong. As long as, if you said, yo, Dale, take the flag down, and he said, okay, then he's fine. You can't really fire him. There's no grounds for that.
You know, I'm thinking that he was probably a dick beforehand and that they were just looking for a reason to get rid of him. I mean, that's for hanging a flag. I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, the guy was, he was asking for it. He was trying to be a funny guy. But a lot of people do funny guy things at the workplace and they don't lose their jobs over it.
Right. So he's probably a dick.
Moving on.
The World Cup's over. Your comments?
Yeah, it's over. That's cool. I was totally in on Team America. I thought I was going to stay in throughout the rest of the tournament. To be honest with you, I was watching that Argentina-Germany final, and I couldn't get into it. I was bored out of my mind. I even had a rooting interest. My brother spent some time in Argentina. Germany's Germany. I'm not a big, you know, fan of their WW2 stance or actions. Just miserably boring, and now you have Germans. I'm done. Give me 4 more years, and I'll be ready for it again.
Oscar Pistorius gets into a bar fight.
First of all, if you're Oscar Pistorius and you are less than a month away from the conclusion of your murder trial for blasting your girlfriend through a bathroom door with a shotgun numerous times, don't go out to a bar. That's number one. Two, he was allegedly hanging out in a VIP section of a Johannesburg bar in South Africa. Don't be caught in a VIP section looking like you're living the glamour life while your ex-girlfriend lies in a grave somewhere. That's not going to play well with the judge. They don't have juries in South Africa. It's just the judge. But I can't imagine you sitting there making it rain on a Tuesday evening is really going to look good for you. Third of all, don't get into a fight and show your temper. I don't care if the other guy started it. The other guy would literally need to slap you in the face and give you a wedgie. And even if he did that, you should still just suck it up and walk out the door. Maybe flip him the bird. Nothing more than a bird flippage, because your entire defense strategy is, I don't have a temper versus this guy has a murderous temper. Getting in a fight at a time like this doesn't look good for my man Oscar. Not my man Oscar. Can I take that back? Not my man Oscar. That's a creature of habit situation.
Derek Jeter starts the All-Star game.
Yeah, some people have a problem with this. The people that want to argue against the All-Star game having meaning and deciding home field advantage, and I'm one of the few people who actually like that move, they like to point to guys like Derek Jeter as to why it should be an exhibition. Because Derek Jeter is an honorary All-Star this season, and if the game really, quote-unquote, means something, then he doesn't deserve to be batting leadoff. First of all, he's Derek Jeter. He's batting 275 for the New York Yankees in 2014. He's a perfectly adequate All-Star representative. He's got the clutch gene. He's got the moxie. He's got the championship rings. That's why you're honoring the guy in the first place. So if you don't think he can slap a hit or two against Clayton Kershaw or Adam Wainwright, you're flat out of your mind. Secondly, J.J. Hardy is the backup shortstop in the American League. J.J. Hardy isn't Alex Rodriguez back in the late 90s, isn't Nomar Garcia Parra. This isn't the olden, golden era of shortstops that we saw earlier in Derek Jeter's career. I'm not even talking about guys like Miguel Tejada, who won an MVP at short during Jeter's tenure there in the early 2000s. This is not a strong shortstop class, and Derek Jeter is a perfectly adequate player to man the helm at short. This game can still mean something, and it can still honor Derek Jeter. People who think it can't have it both ways are out of their mind. Do we have an ignorant sports question of the day there, Matt?
We sure do. And this is going to piggyback off of our last podcast, where you were talking about bringing in some basketball stars to help the U.S. soccer team. And if they, with the adequate amount of training, would be better soccer stars than the soccer stars themselves.
Brilliant question.
So I would like to, first off, pick an ultimate team based out of any sport. You can go back in time, go get Marty McFly's time machine, go back to whenever you want, get any sports star, bring them back at their prime, and build a team of, let's say, five people to play in every single sport. Is there or are there athletes that could perform across all sports and do better than the stars that we have now?
I would say there definitely are. You know, it's difficult. I think you're probably looking, running backs are elite guys. They're guys that obviously have some hand-eye coordination, can catch the ball out of the backfield. They're physical beasts. They're fast. They're agile. So I would say certainly some running backs. Bo Jackson has got to be the number one guy that pops in your mind.
Absolutely. He was in a cartoon back in the 90s. I believe it's called Pro Stars. With Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and Bo Jackson.
Yeah, I was more referring to the time he actually played football and then played baseball at an all-star level.
And was in a cartoon, swinging tree trunks at machines. For kids. All for kids.
Always. Is that like a Captain Planet of sports star type of a situation?
It absolutely is. It's the out. Yes.
You had a problem with, you ever notice that Captain Planet was the Power Rangers before the Power Rangers with a much more green progressive initiative?
He was the Megazord.
I mean, you had to come, like, they came together and touched rings, did they not?
Yeah.
And then Captain Planet came out looking like Patrick Ewing, but green?
Yes, yes.
Right, and the Power Rangers, they touched rings as well. See, I never watched
Power
P-Rangers.
Rangers had belt buckles. Sweet-ass belt buckles.
They touched belt buckles?
No, they touched their own belt buckle, and then dinosaurs popped out.
Okay, because if they were all sitting there, like, thrusted hips, touching belt buckles, and nobody had a problem with that from 96 to 2000.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I've been penning my list while we've been talking about 1990
cartoons.
That went
somewhere horrible so fast.
It was your description of the Power Rangers. They had belt buckles. I'm going to go Bo Jackson, LeBron James. LeBron James is the biggest freak athlete of all time. By the way, Michael Jordan, not on my list, but I don't need the Jordan LeBron haters to jump on my back here. LeBron is clearly a better overall athlete. He could be an NFL wide receiver if he decided to go that pathway. He was an All-American high school wide receiver / tight end. And he, listen, we saw what MJ could do when he went to the Diamond. It was not that impressive. I understand his head wasn't in the right place. If his head was in the right place, he wouldn't have gone to the Diamond, you know, to
and
begin with.
And his strike zone was pretty big.
His strike zone was pretty big, and he had a pretty bad stance, although you do need to crouch in order to make that zone smaller when you're 6'6". I'm going to go Jim Thorpe, a multi-sport athlete from well before either of our times, but really one of the trendsetters in terms of playing multiple sports and doing it in an absolutely elite level. I'm going to go Allen Iverson on a little bit of a curveball. It's a small little guy, but you need a small little guy. That's why point guards are needed, fast guys are needed in baseball.
To get into the little nooks and crannies on the sports field. Exactly. Everybody needs a little guy.
You can't have a bunch of 6'8" Adonises out there. You need one phenomenal 5'8"
guy to pick on. Yeah, you just need...
No, he's not the... This guy you can't touch because he's too quick, too shifty. That's Allen Iverson. And then my number five guy is going to be Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker's like 60 years old. He's never lifted a weight in his life, and he's still the most Shaq Diesel guy in the world. Have you ever seen a Herschel Walker workout regimen?
I have not.
He literally, I think he fights in the UFC at like 55 years old, and he beats people, and he's jacked out of his mind. He's always been the biggest freak athlete. Even in the National Football League in the 80s, he was the biggest, most physically gifted athlete on the field. All he does... push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups. Just thousands of them.
I lift things up and put them down.
But you got all these guys, you know, P90X and physical trainers and everybody who wants to make a buck off somebody who feels
hot
self-conscious.
Yoga.
Yeah. And then you got Herschel Walker just doing it like the Buddhists do
I
it.
I pick things up and I put things down.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't even pick things. He picks himself up and he puts himself down. That's all the guy does. And he's an absolutely phenomenal, freakish athlete. So that is my list. I am going Bo... LeBron, Jim Thorpe, AI, and Herschel Walker as my top five crossover athletes of all time.
Can I add a few?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, I'm basing this completely off of the McDonald's commercials. And knowing what little I do about sports, I think Larry Bird was a pretty impressive dude.
Okay, first of all...
He could throw a basketball... what did they do in those commercials? They played peg? Or horse, and they were throwing basketballs.
Yeah, like off the moon and stuff.
Anybody that can do that is amazing.
It's pretty phenomenal, absolutely, especially with the 90s being what it was, CGI style.
That was all real.
Totally real. The technology simply wasn't there yet. The problem is, if you are an athlete and you are doing McDonald's commercials, especially in the old school, super, super, super sized Happy Meals and value meals.
Get a gallon of milkshake, add it on.
Yeah, exactly. It's phenomenal. You can't be a top tier athlete. You're doing Mickey D's commercials. That's going to catch up to you.
All right, here's another one for you then. Try to refute this.
If you go Happy Gilmore, I'm just walking out.
No. Not Happy Gilmore. Okay, here it is. Brock Lesnar. He started off in the WWE, kicking people's asses.
Hot start.
Yes. But he went and he signed on like directly onto a football team. I don't think he ever played a game, but he was just a brick shithouse. And then he went into the UFC and started beating people up for real. And he actually did well. So I think he's right there.
No, he's not right there. That's just strictly the same thing over and over again. First, he was theatrical fake brute strength, and then he tried to be athletic brute strength, and that didn't work out. And then he went to the UFC and just won off brute strength again. That impressive, don't get me wrong, and I don't want to see Brock in the street, and I heard your podcast, I'm running. I would not put him on the same level as some of these other... You know, a guy like Deion Sanders is in the conversation because he did it professionally. You know, he played for the Cincinnati Reds, he played for the Braves, he also played, obviously, NFL football at a Hall of Fame level. I'm not putting him on there either. I mean, he's pretty close. He's probably closer to the Allen Iverson mold. Maybe he would have been a better call than Allen Iverson, the guy with the hands, the guy with the finesse, the footwork, tough to catch.
Well, you know, you've got your little guy on the team. You already said you've got the freakishly big, like, the brick shithouse. It's like we're forming a boy band of sports. You know, you have to have the big brother type. You have to have the brick shit house. You have to have the little quick guy.
Yeah, the Lance Bass of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allen Iverson is the Lance Bass of my team. That's what he is.
He just gets in there quick.
That's all right. We are going to wrap this one up on that note. British Open starting this Thursday. Matt, who you got?
I don't even know
who's in it. Tiger Woods is a golfer.
I thought you were talking about tennis.
Okay. All right. We're going to run this one again. All right. British Open starts tonight. Not tonight. Starts on Thursday. Now, you know what? You've taken the wheels completely off. I'm telling you right now, I'm rooting for my man Tiger. I'm taking Jason Day. When I am right, I will gloat about it next week on Shooting Bricks.
They've got a power and a force that you've never seen before. They've got the ability to morph and to even up the...